people have it.
When I
Ralph Tipton did sneak in late there. He's back in the corner with a Tennessee shirt on. We're saying happy birthday to him now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Brother Gary, can we sing the verse of that, not the verse, but the chorus of that song again?
Sure.
One more time. If we were going to go to Paris, and we had a vacation planned to go to Paris, we'd be excited about it. If we's going to some great city in the world that everybody knows and is so popular, we'd be fired up. And when we tell people about it, there'd be a glitter, a glisten in her eye, and our voice would be excited and jubilant. I'd like for us to sing together this morning, and let's sing this song and this verse, chorus of this, like we mean it. Like we believe. See, I believe one day I'm going to be touring that city.
Amen.
I believe I'm going to be walking up and down whatever it is that there to offer. My mind can't imagine it. But whatever it is, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
And I ought to be excited about it down here so I can have something to go with me.
Amen.
Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the sun of God is.
That'll be a tremendous time, won't it? Can you imagine the ones that's gone on before us? And they meet us. We start walking through and they said, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get over here. Well, hurry, come on, can't stay that long because we got to get over here. I want you to see this. And I can't wait till you see this. And, oh, boy, but wait till you see Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful time, isn't it? Boy, as a Christian, if you're saved today and on your way to heaven, we've got something to be excited about. I'll tell you what, Tennessee Ball's getting ready to play, but that ain't nothing compared to being excited about going home one day. Glory, hallelujah. I'm so excited today. Praise the Lord. You won't have anything on your heart, a testimony. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like those birthdays, don't you? 16. Praise the Lord. anyone else? The Lord. Pray thy will too, brother. Amen. You know, Bible says, for it's not like treasures up here. When we send them on ahead, we're going to be a little more excited about getting over there, ain't we? Amen. I've got some I'm wanting to see, too. I've got one's picking us a rock out. We're going to talk a couple hundred years on it. Ain't we, Brother Jim? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? See, it's good to have hope. Peter said, of course, we're preaching in the book of Peter on Wednesday nights. And he said we had a lively hope. And the resurrection is one of those hopes, but going to heaven, having an eternal home forever. Glory, hallelujah. Now, that'll give you hope. Amen. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord. I tell you, Preacher Cutshaw used to say a lot about leaving a good testimony for the family. You know, when you leave your family that you leave's got that hope, that's an encouragement. It helps them through too, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
And he
praise the Lord.
That day, just a sinner was I, but then Jesus.
Amen.
Passed by.
Praise the Lord. Has Jesus passed by your life? Have you reached out and touched him? Have you gotten a hold of the garment? The woman made her way through the crowd that day. It didn't matter what it took. She was going to touch him because she knew what was coming once she got a hold of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Are you glad to be saved and on your way to heaven this morning? Now, what has happened? I preached the other night, Paul and Barnabas is now on a missionary trip. The church in Syria of Antioch had commissioned them. The Holy Ghost set them aside. The church has commissioned them. They went to Seleucia. Then they went over to the island Cyprus. They went on one end of it, Salamis, and has preached through. They met a sorcerer, and the Lord struck him blind for a season. And then the deputy, the guy's over, the whole island got saved, called upon the name of the Lord. So now we pick up, they're leaving this island and going to Pergam. And today's message, after they leave Pergam, they go on up to Antioch. That's up in Asia Minor. This is a different Antioch. The other Antioch's just up above Jerusalem. They've come through. They've come up in what we might say modern-day Turkey, up in that area now. And now today's message will be that they're in Antioch. They are planting churches. People's being saved. People's being healed. God's moving in a tremendous way as they go through these towns. And then they come to Antioch now, and that they've come into the house of the Lord. They've sat down. They got up and read the prophets and read the word of God. And now they've sat back down. And the guy, before he sat down, said, "You men, boy, did I tell you what, right here, he must not have known that Paul was a preacher, because you don't ever want to ask a preacher if he got anything to say." And he said, "If you men got anything to say, say ye. Or go ahead and tell it." Well, Paul got up and laid it down. I'm telling you what, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit, but he poured it on them. He told one of them, there's a guy I'd seen last night, and he said, "What are you going to skin their hides about tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, I don't know about that, but he skinned their hides." And he poured it right out and told them exactly what the Lord. He started all the way back. And the way that Paul, God had anointed Paul, he had so much wisdom. He didn't just come in and start blasting Jesus. He'd run them every one off. He started back at the beginning. And then he worked his way right on through all the way to Jesus. And they accepted it, or a lot of them did. And that is a good thing in our lives, that we need to start back. We need to get a friendship. We need to get things set. If you come in and you start blasting Jesus the first thing without setting up a relationship with him, a lot of times you'll turn them off. Preacher Cutshaw, you say if you'll never win anybody, the Lord don't like you. But if you would stand with me, I want to read a few verses. It's one verse really stuck out in my mind. We want to start reading verse 44, chapter 13. Now this, what Paul did was the first Sabbath, he preached to the Jews. And after that message, the Gentiles said, "Hey, wait a minute, won't you preach this next week?" So this is his second week here of preaching, and he's a preaching here mainly to the Gentiles. Starting at verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you," talking to the Jews, "but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, so we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad." Glory, we're still shouting, ain't we? "And glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Father, I just pray you'll just use this time. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies we've heard. We thank you for the songs. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. God, I thank you for the filling of the Holy Spirit this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us and what you're doing through us and to us. And Lord, we're just so thankful today to be part of a great work. And God, I pray that you'd forgive us and forgive me and cleanse me. Lord, use me here a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about the commotion in the city. You know, I tell you what, we need a commotion here at Marbleton. How about it? Amen. Hey, man, we need a commotion going on. We need a commotion in Unicoi. We need a commotion in the state of Tennessee. We need a commotion in the United States of America. We need a commotion today going on with the power of God that's coming through and working in lives. Boy, everywhere that Paul and Barnabas went, there was a commotion. God was doing some things. Amen. I like to get us to get in ourselves to where we allow God to be the commotion. See, the cause of this commotion was the Word of God. He came in preaching the Word. He preached the Word of God to them. He gave them the truth straight from the top all the way through. And boy, I tell you what, I like the truth, don't you? You know, a good thing about us guys that don't have good memory, it's good to tell the truth because you don't have to remember what you told. Amen. 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 When you tell the truth, it's the truth. And my mama said he'd stand when the world's on fire. God's truth had been proclaimed. And over here, that in verse 3, this message started. 13 or 14, and he started preaching this message. And he preached the word of God. He started out in verse 17, the God of the people of Israel. I tell you, at a starting point, and always to be, it start out with God. In the beginning. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, Muhammad. Not in the beginning, somebody else. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Praise the Lord. It wasn't a committee, unless you call the Holy Ghost and Jesus the committee. But I believe the Trinity was there. But I tell you, it was God in the beginning. And Paul started here, and God. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on in these verses, and I'm not going to, time won't permit to really get into it, but he goes through these verses, and he talks about God's overruling providence. He starts, and if you read this, you go home this evening and start there and read the rest of that chapter. Start verse 4 if you want to. He started, talked about Egypt. He talked about Abraham forward and said they were brought into captivity and God delivered them and talked about the deliverance of Egypt. Then he went on down and said they wanted a king, Saul. Then he went on through to David. Then he went on through and he kept preaching right on through till he got to Jesus. There was a preacher told me when I started preaching, so when you get up there and you get started off what you got to say and make a beeline to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul did. He made a beeline to Jesus. He got there when the getting got good, and he got that to the point, and he said, talking about Jesus. I tell you what, this morning, I can tell you a lot of things. I can stand up here and quote you a lot of stuff, but I'll never tell you nothing as important as Jesus is. He talked about God's unfailing grace in 23 and 24. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Aren't you glad for the amazing grace that God has bestowed upon us? Unmerited favor that I deserve hell this morning. But glory, hallelujah. I heard a preacher preaching yesterday. And he said, people says God's not fair. I said it before he even said it across the radio airwaves. I said, thank God he's not fair. If he was fair, I'd be in hell today. Praise the Lord. Hey, aren't you glad he's not fair? I'm glad he's just. I'm glad that he's forgiven. And I'm glad he's loving and merciful God. He went on down to 28 and 29 and talked about the cross of Jesus. If you believe, it was one of the theologians. I can't remember exactly how they put it, but he said, if a man made the claims that Jesus made, without it being true, he'd be a lunatic. Put him in the same category as a man that claimed himself to be a poached egg, I believe the way he put it. He said, he's either the Son of God or he's not. It's never been an option for him just to be a good person. He's God. He's our Savior. He went to that old rugged cross for mine and your sins. Every sin I ever committed, everything I've done wrong, every evil word I've thought, anything that I ever committed, he went to that old cross, climbed up Mount Calvary, and laid down on that cross and became sin that knew no sin, became sin that I might know the righteousness of God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. That's what the cross means to us today. Paul told him about the cross. Boy, I'm glad I'm on the road, Gary, and don't mean to be. I don't mean to be bashing nobody, but I tell you something I really don't like. You got pet peeves. I got one as a cross that still got Jesus on me. Now, you may have one of them, and I don't mean nothing bad about it. He's not on the cross, folks. He's not in the grave. Glory, hallelujah. Paul went on and he told them about the cross, but he said then they buried him when everything was accomplished. They put him in the grave, and then he came out of there. Well, glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the resurrection this morning? And then he kept on going. He got there in verse 38, and he's making a point. He's building a case. And he gets 38, and he said, pretty much saying, all this was done so that you could have forgiveness of sins. He did this to accomplish that you won't stand before God and have to give an account for your sins. The next verse, down 39, then he goes talking about justification. He said, now that you've been forgiven, and when you stand before God, you're going to stand before Him as if you'd never done anything wrong. Glory, hallelujah. I like the doctrine of justification. I've already put just as if I'd never sinned. But really what's happened is Christ's righteousness has been imputed into our spiritual bank account. And when God looks upon me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He don't see the old rascal I am. He don't see the sins I've done. He don't see my past. The Bible said that when He forgave me, they've been far as east is from the west. He don't see none of that. He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees perfection. He sees nothing but goodness. He thinks that I'm something else. Well, glory, hallelujah. And it's because of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you, I'm about to take a running fit this morning. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I deserve to go to hell, and when God looks at me, He says He's perfect. Woo, glory, hallelujah. See, He was touching the deepest issues of life. See, we get carried away. I tell you, I about had to quit even paying any attention to politics and the news. If you're having a good day and you won't get discouraged, just turn the news on. If you won't have a good day, the doom and gloom and all of this stuff, Paul wasn't even talking nothing about that. He never brought none of that up. He never brought all these issues of the day up. He never brought all of this stuff up. He didn't talk about it. He didn't care about it. All he was worried about is they found out who Jesus was. And they found out what Jesus could do. He said, let me tell you, he goes on about everywhere he ever goes, and he says, I was going to Damascus, and as a light came, and I met my Savior on that road, and I want you to meet Him too. Praise the Lord. See, he's talking about life. Not just quantity of life. We like quantity, but I'd rather have quality. And I'm not talking about what the medical field's talking about either. John 10:10. Bible said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that they may have life and they may have it more abundant. Glory, hallelujah. That's the quality of life that I'm looking for. That's the quality of life that Jesus can give you. Only through Him and only through a right relationship that we got to Jesus will we have a quality of life. See, he said he never got in no social reform. He didn't talk nothing about the do's and the don'ts. He didn't get in seeing the Greek and all the philosophy and everything then in that time. Boy, they wanted to get in and the meaning of life and all of these things, and they wanted to sit around and talk about it and all these philosophies and share their philosophies with each other and go on. And if you want to if you want to waste a lot of good time, you just get on the internet and check up some of the things they believe and some of the things that some of this mythology junk and a bunch of this stuff and nonsense that they believe and put all their stock into. They like to sit around and talk about it, try to convince other people. Paul didn't get in there. He didn't want to talk about that. He said, "There's something that I've come to tell you about today. I want to talk about God. I want to tell you who it is that's in control. I want you to know who the giver of life is and who's the one that you're going to stand before and get and be judged by." Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man wants to die and after this the judgment. God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils and a man became a living soul and sin come into the Garden of Eden and man was separated from God and the man Jesus Christ came and tied us back together and it will stand before God and give an account what we do with Jesus. And then he told them about sin. You know, the Bible says that Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. David said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're sinners. Boy, we don't like to hear that, do we? We've missed the mark. We fall short. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ to be our propitiation, to be the one to come and stand in our place. See, before I go, I'm just about done in more ways than one. I want to share just a little bit in verse 46 with you. This is what the Lord had really laid on my heart. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It's necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life." That statement jumped off of the page at me. God just stirred my heart. And pretty well what they were telling him is that you have passed judgment on yourself because you've not given Jesus a chance. You've heard the word. It was preached to you. You snubbed your nose up in the air. You started blaspheming the people that brought you the good message. And you did everything in the power that you could do to thwart the word of God, the power of God. And you've turned your head. You've snubbed your nose up at God. And now you've sealed your own fate. Amen. That's what America's doing. That's what America's doing today. They're stubbing their nose up at God and they're saying, "We don't need you. We don't need this nonsense. We're okay ourselves. We've got everything we need and we can get along just fine without you." And we are sealing our own fate. People said, "Look, I can't believe a God of love send people to hell." He don't. He's made every way possible we can. When we turn our head and our backs against God and against the things of God, against the church of God, against the people of God, and against people that's worried about and concerned about your soul, and you turn your back and you walk off, that you have sealed your own fate and that your doing's not God's. John 3:17-18 said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It has to come home. seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. I don't never want to do anything that'll disqualify me from everlasting life. I want to hang on as tight as I can hang on, Brother Jim. And when the old ship of Zion sails in to the shores of heaven, I want to be on her. Glory, hallelujah. I heard Bill Greer preach a message about the ship of Zion and the ship of the world. Glory, hallelujah. The captain on the ship of Zion said, oh, it gets rough. The waves get big. We get ridiculed a lot. It's a tough time. But glory, hallelujah, that day it pulled into the shore. Woo, glory. The shouting took place. The party started. See, the ship of the world had the party going on already. They were enjoying themselves. That they were hooping and a hollering and going on. But boy, when they got to their destination, I want to be on the old ship of Zion. Glory, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your...